Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, please, for our second reading. Matthew's Gospel 26. We're going to break into the reading at the verse 47. I want to consider with you this morning the man who kissed the door of heaven and yet went to hell. The man who kissed the door of heaven and yet he went to hell. Verse 47 of Matthew 26. While he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came. With him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest, and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Then chapter 27 and the verse 3 of the chapter. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to it. He cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went, and hanged himself. Amen. I wonder today, has there ever been a decision in your life, a decision that you've had to make that has changed your life completely? 1914, Archduke Franz Ferdinand was being driven down the road by his chauffeur. That chauffeur took a wrong turning. Throughout that day, there had been assassination attempts upon Archduke Franz Ferdinand, and in one split second, as they were making their way to the hospital to see those that were wounded, his chauffeur took the wrong turn. He realized halfway down that street that they were now heading in the wrong direction, and he pulled over and proceeded to do a U-turn. But as he had made that decision to turn down that road, on that very street there was a man by the name of Gustav Prinsip. Gustav was one of the assassinators, and he couldn't believe his fortune that day as he looked up, and there's Archduke Franz Ferdinand's car very slowly trying to do a U-turn. Proceeded to assassinate and to kill the Archduke. That one shot, that one split decision of the driver led to World War I commencing. And from World War I came World War II. You think of Hannibal, the greatest army general that there has ever been, and all of the wisdom and all of the intellect that the man had in organizing his troops to take on the Roman legions. And yet on one occasion, as he was making that amazing journey across the Alps with all of his men and the elephants and everything else up from Carthage across the Alps into Italy, he came to encountered a great snowfall. His men were extremely nervous. But he took the decision, I'll now show my men that it's safe. And so he took his stick, he took his rod, and he tapped the ground. And that tap of the ground set off an avalanche, which which wiped out thousands of his men. Maybe you've made a decision in your life, maybe a decision in your career which has changed your prospects, has changed your whole outlook in life, has changed the direction in which your life is heading. We once again this morning return to the Garden of Gethsemane. We were here last week as we considered the cup that was presented to the Lord there in that garden as that cup came before him. But as the Lord has come to the end of his prayers, those three occasions when the Lord went away from his disciples to pray, the three occasions when the disciples went to sleep, then as the last time as the Lord returns, Judas returns with the men. He brings the soldiers with their swords and with their staves. He brings them with the torches lit in the dark of night. As that great band of men had come out of the city of Jerusalem, Judas was the only disciple that was not following the Lord. All of the other disciples, we've noticed before, all of the other disciples had followed the Lord to the garden. All of the disciples had heeded his word. All of the disciples had obeyed his commands, all except one, Judas. A man who had the privileges, the opportunities bestowed upon him, many of us could only dream of. And yet, he is the one who kissed the door of heaven, and he went to hell. Three things I want to leave with you in relation to this occasion in the Garden of Gethsemane, and indeed in relation to Judas. I want you to see this morning his dismissal of the gospel. His dismissal of the gospel. For 3 years, Judas had been in the presence of Almighty God. For 3 years, he had listened to the sermons, to the Bible lessons, to the theological discussions that were had, to the counter and the attacks that came from the Pharisees, and how the Lord had rebutted each one of them. For 3 years he had seen the miracles. He had seen the power of the Lord at work. He had seen as men who were lame were brought to their feet. Judas had seen as the blind were made to see, as the ones sick with the palsy and sick with the leprosy now were clean. He had witnessed people's lives transformed. Judas had witnessed families gloriously changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had seen physical and spiritual transformations taking place. He had seen the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believed. And yet each day, each sermon, each gospel appeal, Judas dismissed it. Judas rejected it. Didn't matter what occurred in a given day, his heart was cold. Didn't matter what amazing miracle was done or what power was displayed, Judas never drew to the Lord. He was wholly inclined towards sin and towards evil. Didn't matter to him that Christ preached against the importance and the love of money. Understand the sermons that Judas heard. Understand the sermons that Judas heard as he came and was in the company of the Lord, as the Lord stood to his feet and he preached against the love of money. He preached against the importance of the material things. He preached the importance of the soul. Mark 8, verse 34. It says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, what did he preach that day? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Judas stood and listened to that sermon. Judas heard as the Lord expounded the value that is found in the soul. You think as well in Luke 12 and the verse 15, it says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Judas was there for that sermon as well. Judas heard the clearest expositions about how material wealth and material things are not what we're to set our eyes upon. Maybe that's you today. Maybe I'm looking out upon one today that has heard the gospel message for years. You've heard your need of salvation. You've been brought up in the church. You've understood time after time as you've came Sunday by Sunday, Sunday school, children's meeting, morning service, evening service. You've heard as the preachers have preached. And you've heard the gospel invitation. You've heard the necessity for having your soul insured in Christ Jesus. And yet you've rejected. You've dismissed it. You've walked out of this church saying it's not for me. Oh, you can have your gospel, you can have your salvation, you can have your Lord, your Savior if you want. I don't want it, but you can have it. I want my life. It's my material things. I want my life with my worldly pleasures. I want to spend my youth, I want to spend my middle years making as much money as I possibly can. And then I want to retire. And I want to enjoy my money. So much emphasis today is put into money. So much emphasis today is put into your fortunes. Have you ever been to a coffin? You ever try to hand money to a dead person? Have they ever taken it? If I was to walk in here with £1 million and I'd say it's yours, you'd be able to reach out and take it. But I could walk into a room where there's a coffin with £1 million in a briefcase. And I could say to the man, to the woman lying in the coffin, do you want it? They're never going to reach out for it. Because it means nothing. Why do we put so much investment? Why do we put so much thought into things which only last for a season? Why do we care so much for the figures that are in our bank accounts? For the size of our cars, the size of our holidays, the size of our homes, without ever thinking about our souls which last forever. That's the message that the Lord was preaching to Judas and to the people. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he lose his own soul? What is the point in having all of the riches when you'll leave them behind whenever you close your eyes in death? Judas dismissed it. All of the clear teaching, all of the clear gospel message, it's all about your soul's salvation. The Lord's promising his people, even as he stood and taught them, if any man come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Come unto me, all you that are labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll have salvation for you. Judas dismissed it. He says, the gospel's not for me. You can have it, I don't want it. The dismissal of the gospel. But then I want you to see also in the verse 47 of the passage, the deviation from the truth. The deviation from the truth. Not only did he dismiss the gospel message, but he deviated. He went away from the truth. The verse 47, it says, while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Remember I said earlier he had the privilege of being in the presence of Almighty God. He had the privilege of hearing, of listening to the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ, of being taught and instructed in the Word of God. Every time that Christ preached, every time that Christ spoke, every time that Christ taught, he taught from the Word of God. He taught them the truth. Yet Judas deviated from it. Let me give you three examples of how he did. Firstly, he rebelled against the Word of God. This was Passover. The timing of the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was not just a random time of the year. This was the most sacred time in the Jewish calendar. And out of all of the feasts, all of the different feasts that were had each and every year that were set in stone, these are the different feasts that you must have. The Feast of the First Fruits, the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Feast of the Passover, and the Feast of the Atonement, and all of the different ones that there was. This is the most sacred of all of the feasts. And this Thursday night was the most sacred night of that feast. This was to be the time whenever the lambs were to be taken, the blood was to be shed. Even the Jewish leaders didn't want to rebel. Even the Jewish leaders didn't want to arrest the Lord at this time of year. Matthew 26, in the verse 5 of the chapter, it says, as they consulted one with the other to take Jesus by subtlety and kill him, the verse 5, but they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. The Jewish leaders even realized this is a sacred time. Because what did the scriptures say? Exodus 12, the verse 42, it is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. Judas comes in the most sacred night of all of the calendar, of all of the feast, the most sacred night of that feast, and at the most sacred time, and he comes to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. He completely rebels against the teaching. He completely rebels against the commands of the Lord that we must observe the word of God. The Lord set in place for them. You must observe this sacrifice. But in his eyes, it doesn't matter what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what the Bible teaches or instructs. In his eyes, he's above the word of God. He'll do what he wants. Not what God wants. Doesn't matter what the Bible teaches. I'll do my own thing. The Bible says I shouldn't do this. The Bible says I shouldn't do that. It doesn't matter. I'll do what I want. He rebels against the word of God. He rejects the worship of God. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, it tells us Christ is praying. Gethsemane was a popular place for the Lord. Gethsemane was a place for where the Lord would, on a number of occasions, would take his disciples apart, and they would go to that garden at the foot of the Mount of Olives. They would go into that place, a well-known place where they could come aside, they could spend time in prayer, they could spend time around the things of God. It was a place where the Lord would teach them. The Lord would teach them the things of God. He would teach them even by his actions in prayer. A place of worship. Judas knew the place. Judas knew the significance of the place, and yet that is the place where he brings soldiers. That is the place where he brings these men with their swords, their staves, and their torches. That is the place that he comes, even though the Lord is there, in that sacred place where the Lord would worship, the Lord would pray, the Lord would teach the things of God. Yet he comes there without a care or a thought for the worship of God. To Judas, you see, worship was meaningless. To Judas, it didn't matter about prayer or about the things of God or the word of God. He rejected the worship because he rejected Christ. You know, that's the reality today. We come to the house of the Lord. The child of God comes to the house of the Lord, I trust, with that desire to worship. But the ungodly can't come with that desire. We come as a child of God. You come to the house of the Lord with that desire and that longing in your heart to worship your Savior, to give thanks to the Lord for what he's done for you, to rejoice this day that our Lord and Savior, the first day of the week, he's alive in heaven. And we sing the praises unto God. And we lift up our hearts in prayer and thanksgiving unto the Lord for what he's done and continues to do. But the ungodly can't do that. This place of worship, which is special to the child of God, has no meaning to the ungodly. Because if you're not saved, then the God in heaven means nothing to you. Because you've rejected him time and time again. And that was Judas. He came to this special place. He came to that place where the Lord would gather and pray to his Father in heaven, where the Lord would teach the things of his word and the things of himself to his people. And yet Judas comes with that desire, I'm coming to wreck. I don't care about your worship. He rebels against the word, he rejects the worship. Then he ridicules the worth. He ridicules the worth. He doesn't understand the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He brings many men with him with swords and with staves, expecting a fight. He brings all of the soldiers with all of the staves, the swords, the torches, all of these men. They're coming against 11 men in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming to arrest the Prince of Peace. He comes for war. He's planned and arranged with the disciples, or with the soldiers, a sign. He says, whoever I go and kiss, that's the one you have to arrest. He takes a greeting which was done out of respect, admiration and love, and he mocks it. You know, it was customary in those days for the students in Israel to greet their rabbis with a kiss. Whenever the student would come and meet with the rabbi, it was customary that they would come up to the rabbi and they would give him a kiss on each cheek out of respect and honor and admiration for who he was. Judas comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He walks right up to him and he kisses him. The word there in the original, he doesn't just kiss him once. He kisses him and he kisses him and he kisses him and he kisses him. He's basically lavishing kisses upon the Lord. Without any respect or love for who he's kissing. He brings those kisses with that desire. This is the one. Take him away. This is the one that I cannot stand. This is the one that I want nothing to do with. This is the one that I will have money to get rid of him. He kisses and he kisses and he kisses. You know, sadly, there are so many today treat the word of God, the worship of God, and the worth of God in the exact same way. So many do not even believe this book. So many today will say this book is not infallible. This book is just an ordinary book. This has nothing to do with God. This is not how you're supposed to live your life. My friend, this is the greatest book, even as that. The title that's been put out there, the Book of Books, this is the Book of Books. From the very first word to the very last, amen. This book is true. This book is holy. This book is alive today. It's never dated. It's never gone out of fashion. It never will. It is the most up-to-date book in all of the world that has ever been penned because it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's so many today, just like Judas, and they do not believe in the worth and the value of this book. They do not believe in the worship of the Lord, and they do not believe in the worth and the value of the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not see the value of his life. They do not see the value of his death. They do not see the value of his resurrection. Maybe I'm speaking to one this morning in the meeting. The reality is you share these characteristics like Judas. It's just a book. It's just a normal, another church service. It's just a man that lived and died. I pray this morning your eyes will be opened. And you'll see the God of this book for who he is. And you'll see the value in his life and the value in his death. It was only by his life of perfection that he could go to the cross. It was only by the sinless perfection of the Lord, the fact that he never sinned and he could not sin, that made him eligible and made him right and ready to go to the cross. It's only by his death and the shedding of his precious blood that your sins can be covered. It's only by his resurrection from the grave and his ascension into heaven, that resurrection, the fact that he has defeated death forever. That sign and seal that his death upon the cross was acceptable by the Father in heaven. Because he's alive, then you too can live. The sinner today, your eyes would be open. You'd see the need of salvation, even in your own life. And you'd see the one, the only one, who can bear away your sins. The dismissal of the gospel, deviation from the truth. I want you to see, thirdly and finally, the damnation of a soul. Luke 22, the verse 48. Luke's account of the gospel, whenever Judas comes, stands before the Lord and kisses him and kisses him. The Lord's not fooled. Lord Jesus says to him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? He came to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who said, I am the door, by me if any man enter, he shall be saved. He kissed the door of heaven again and again and again. He went right up to the door of heaven and he kissed it, and yet he damned his own soul and went to hell. Kissed the door of heaven, but he never sought admittance. He was right there face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet there was no repentance. Never once did he seek repentance or desire for forgiveness from the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have came and he could have cried unto the Lord, and he could have wept and he could have repented of his sins. Lord, forgive me. I went and I took money off the Jewish leaders. I promised them that I would betray you. I promised them that I would give you up. Lord, forgive me. He could have done that. But he didn't. Consider the difference there is between Judas and Peter. Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him. But when the word of the Lord came to Peter, he went out and he wept. Three times he denied him. The Lord turned round and looked upon him. The word of the Lord came and struck Peter in his heart. Peter went out and he wept. And when the Lord was raised from the dead, three times he would ask Peter, Peter, lovest thou me? Peter says, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Peter repented of his sins. Judas never repented of his sins to the Lord. Oh yes, what did we read in those verses? Matthew 27, verse 3. He repented himself. Judas never repented to the Lord. Judas repented himself. He didn't repent of the sin that he had committed. Rather, he repented of the consequences. He repented that Christ was going to be condemned. He repented that Christ was going to be slaughtered, was going to be taken to the cross, and was going to be killed. That made him sad. That made him guilty. He repented of the guilt he felt, but he never repented of the sins he committed. He returned the money to the priests. He went to them seeking peace. See, friend, if you go to any other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you seek peace with any other in this world today, you'll never have it, because neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we can be saved. You can go and seek peace with friends. You can go and seek peace even from other religions, from cults. You can go to a priest, even as we were talking about with the youth on Friday night, the confessional. You can try your confessions. But if you don't have peace with the Lord, you don't have peace. You haven't come to the Lord and confessed your sins. Confession to mere man is futile. 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive it. That's because he is the only one that can. Judas came at that time. He came to the elders. He came to the priest. And he repented himself. I'm sorry for how I feel. I don't like the state that I find myself in. I don't like the fact that I feel guilty. I don't like the fact that his death is and his arrest is all upon me. I don't like how I feel. So I'll try my works to make me feel better. I'll give the money back. It didn't work. He had to go out. And he hung himself. He's lost forever. He's not in hell because he committed suicide. Understand that. Suicide does not mean that a person's going to hell. But rejecting Christ, you reject the eternal Son of God. You reject his value, his worth. You reject his death and his resurrection. Then you're damning yourself to hell. You know, there are many sins in this world today. Awful sins. We live in dark days when sin is all around us. But there's one sin greater than all others. It's rejecting Christ. What did the Lord say? He said, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. Now Capernaum. He upbraided those cities because all of the miracles, so many of his miracles done in each of those cities, so many gospel services held, so many times the gospel was preached, so many times Christ presented himself, and the people rejected him. And what did he say? Tyre and Sidon, it'll be easier for them in that day than for you, Chorazin, than for you, Bethsaida. In Capernaum, it'll be more tolerable in that day for the city of Sodom with all of the evil and the wickedness of sodomy than it will for those that reject Jesus Christ. My friend, there is no greater sin than rejecting the eternal Son of God. Understand that. You can say, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do any of these wicked things that are going on in this world. I don't want anything to do with them, but I'll keep rejecting Christ, and you keep rejecting the gospel. My friend, you're damning yourself to hell. And hell's worse for the Christ rejecter than for any other. Because I guarantee you this, in hell, you die in your sins. You'll remember every sermon you ever heard. You'll remember every gospel invitation that was ever extended. That's what Luke 16 tells us. The rich man died, being in torments. He lifted up his eyes. What did he remember? He remembered Lazarus, who used to lie at his gate. He remembered his brethren. He also remembered the message of the gospel. Because he said to Abraham, could someone go and tell my brethren? Go and tell them the message. Judas is in hell today, and he remembers every single sermon Christ ever preached. And he remembers what he did. He remembers today, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And he remembered how he took the 30 pieces of silver and gave up his soul. Young person, older person alike, what are you waiting for? Why will you not come? Christ is standing ready and willing today to save you. Will you come? Don't reject him another day. Now is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Come today.